I see you, girl. Like, you're doing it. Like, it's a battlefield out here, man, of light versus dark. And the darkness is hitting us in the places like relationships and love and family. We are not immune to any pain and suffering. Like, we have to be in partnership with that experience.
December 25th, 2018. It was our first Christmas in our new million-dollar home. I checked all the boxes that promised me real freedom. I had a booming business, raving fans, money, assets, and yet I was still sitting there on the couch, pretending that I was watching that Christmas movie with my family while I was choking down the poison of anxiety. I still felt like that desperate kid who would take her clothes off for money, the kid who nearly overdosed to try to prove her worth to her friends, the kid that got pregnant at 19. I felt stuck, like I was stuck in the sands of time. I did all the right things, all the things that promised me freedom, and it didn't add up. I realized a few things. I was still checking someone else's box. This was gonna be an inside job, and I would do whatever it took to never feel that way again. Consider this podcast the rebranded, revamped, cool ass version of Alternative School. Alternative School for the unruly entrepreneur. This is for the innovators, the creators, the world changers, the service-minded, and those who want the details on how to create a business that really, truly, finally fucking sets you free. I'm your host, Andrea Crowder, and welcome to the Unruly Entrepreneur Podcast. Let's go to the show. Amber, welcome to the Unruly Entrepreneur, first of all.
I
You
love the name, by the way.
thank you. Like, this program is all about like depatterning and taking off like the clothes that were put on us so that we can just stand like naked in who we are and reassemble what we want to be true for us. And I feel like you're such a true embodiment of that, getting to read a lot about you and like in your journey. And you've had many options of I don't even want to say self, but like evolution of experiences in your life that have gotten you to this point where now you're a seven-figure coach running an amazing business, helping a fuck ton of people, living a dream life with an amazing man. And also, I'm sure it took you some shit to get there, as you've already started discussing. Welcome to the show, first of all. And is there anything about your history that you feel like is helpful for people to connect to? Like, why your story can really impact them, especially when we get to the conversation, the meat of making really brave decisions, even though it is going to feel like a temporary state of stress. Like, what should people know about you that's relevant in your story?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. Hey, everyone. Promise we'll make this time together worth your while. So it's going to be juicy and good. So happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I love this question. I grew up on food stamps and free lunches in total chaos. So my mom is mentally ill, borderline personality disorder meets schizophrenic, meets bipolar. So a lot of severe instability. My dad was an addict, so he was in and out of our life, and they were trying to make it work. I heard that all my childhood. So, what did I manifest later in life? Yeah, we'll talk about that. So, probably at a later time. I think that I grew up in an environment where I was told I can't, it's not possible, we can't afford it, surrounded by adults that really hated their lives, hated their jobs. And I had this burning desire that when people told me it couldn't happen, that I would make a way out of no way. And that's really, call it angst, call it, I'm going to prove you wrong, call it, my mom used to call me like, get your head out of the clouds with your Pollyanna bullshit. Like, not everything is possible. So I just had this, yeah, it actually is. And so I was a cheerleader. And on the outside, I had bullies and people thinking, oh, look at her, I thought I had money. I didn't. I worked at JCPenney's. I would wear clothes and then return them and get new clothes and return them. Like, that's how I had such a cool wardrobe as a little girl. But cheerleading saved my life. And it was a space where I could put on the mask, smile, and pretend everything was okay. And I found great joy in cheering other people on, hence why I'm such a good coach and why I get so much joy. What I do now, I love seeing other people win. And it's because I had no cheerleader in my life. So I became that cheerleader for others that I wanted. And so think it's important to share that people look at me now. Oh, she's on a plane here and she's there and she's everywhere. And she's now she's living in Spain. And it didn't come at a cost to my nervous system. It didn't come as a cost to like chaos being my baseline and being able to create miracles out of shit and really having to like get used to being in fight or flight all the time. So what does my life look like when I'm not in fight or flight, when I'm not in chaos, when there's not problems, right? Like I loved problems. And then moving to LA and working in the agency space, and I'd have two earphones in with two different lines and be IMing someone at the same time and speaking to the agent and complete chaos. Like you're in like a war zone of constant drama and like figuring it out. And I used to be so proud of, oh, I used to write on my resume, I work well under stress, but it's like my like I would get woken up to being screamed at and going to sleep screamed at. I was kicked out of my house more times than I could count. Mm-hmm. First time I was kicked out of my house, I was 4 years old. So I never saw what healthy love looked like. B, I never saw what calm looked like in home. Mm-hmm. And so I did everything I could to not be at home. So I created this like insane overachiever, wasn't good at school, but was great at throwing the events and throwing the homecoming games and doing fundraisers. And so I became this like chameleon for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have 28 jobs 1 year and like my early 20s. Literally, I wanted to make up the story that I was never going to be broke. I have 5 or 7 jobs at the same time, whether it's a spokesmodel for this brand or throwing EDM festivals and working at Nordstrom's and the top steakhouses in town. So I was always filling my time to not sit still. And I would say it wasn't until I had my dark night of the soul. I was a reality TV star. I used to interview celebrities on and off the red carpet while also nannying for a family. It was extremely toxic Hollywood family, by the way, that it started to break down. Like, I can't do this anymore. The money is great, but I'm like being like forced to do cocaine on Christmas. This is insane. And I'm trying to protect this 4-year-old little girl who's like in this chaotic like family. And I share that with you because chaos was normal. So of course I would attract these experiences, but then also be really successful at the same time. So it was just like really confusing. And then at 33 years young, found out my boyfriend was a sex addict. It was the greatest heartbreak of my life. At the same time that activated my wounding around my dad's death, which I just put on a shelf and didn't face off with because I had no tools, of course. And that activated, I don't want to be on television anymore. So I walked off the set at E! News at my 5th callback. So I just didn't want to talk shit about celebrities anymore. I wanted to change the planet. I wanted to raise the conscience of the planet. But who the heck was I? I was some girl who had money and no money, no college degree, living in a studio apartment with 2 dogs on Hollywood. Like, who's going to listen to me? So that activated my dark night of the soul, where my dream was dead. My dad was dead. My relationship was dead. And I felt like I had nothing to live for. And that night I was literally going to leave my dog Angel at Runyon Canyon in Hollywood, which is this beautiful hike in the middle of the city, and go take a bottle of NyQuil PM. Mm-hmm. And I ended up telling my agent, my manager, my lawyer, I'm done. Now you're scaring me. Go on a hike with somebody. And I took a friend from the divine intervention, and I got enrolled into an emotional intelligence training that changed my life. And at 33, I became a life purpose cheerleader. I took all the years, 10 years of television hosting with my desire to like help people win and to just pay forward all the tools that I had used to get me to this place of like really loving myself, owning my worth, lift up in the hood, starting to like really analyze all the reasons why I was in these toxic relationships, all the reasons why I had money and then not money, all the reasons why, and stop being a victim to it all. So that was basically the kickoff. At 33, I started my business. And at 40, I went by the life purpose cheerleader until I was 40. And then I like took that mask off and was like, I don't want to smile all the time, pretend like everything's perfect. That's actually not healthy, or I don't want to play the game anymore. So even that was a bit of a savior complex. And so then I just became, I'm just Amber Valdez. And so for the last decade, I've supported people from 18 to 70 in all walks of life, getting really clear on what their truest soul's purpose is, helping people pivot out of their soul sucking 9-to-5 jobs and helping people activate their spiritual gifts, but really with the baseline of what I have been on the journey of and the mastery of, because I don't think we ever arrive, of learning to love myself and own my worth so that I can pay my pain into my purpose, my pain into my power, and pay forward and hopefully support individuals with a little less suffering and wasting time on the crazy train to Nowhereville. So that's my story. basically back to back narcissistic relationships. My ex-boyfriend at 19, I think, 19 or 22, almost killed me. Yeah. And yeah, like abuse was not something that I did not experience, but I always pretended everything was fine. It's this dark side. I kept keeping myself a part of this, but like wondering why that was happening to me until I really got to look up and go, wow, okay, I'm the common denominator in all of this. But it's always everybody else's fault until I think you reach that moment. Who am I going to point the finger at now? And how can I really learn to love myself? And through these spiritual practices and connecting with nature and meditation, ritual, and all the things that I was been teaching for over a decade, I just paid forward those tools to others. And I was like, wow, it's helped me. It can help other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think all of the pain is worth it. And it gets you to exactly where you are today. If you can learn to alchemize that and get courageous and brave and own your good, your bad, your light, your dark, and just embrace the heck out of your shadows so you can just be free. Really?
Oh my God. Amen. Did you ever have a point like knowing, like I've known for a very long time that like my intention in my life is to be of service to others. And that feels alive and feels really true and correct for me. But when I'm in it, sometimes I'm like, fuck everyone else, let them learn their own good. When people yes. are like, you're going to be able to use this someday. And I'm like, have you, I don't know. Am I the only one who screamed into a closet of clothes that's fucked? I don't want to go through this for them.
Yeah. God, totally. I often say all the time, like, I remember having, this may be a little too woo for your audience, I don't know, but I remember being at my first retreat in Mount Shasta. Thought that was a great idea. And I just went in there with this blind, basically got a stern talking to from my spiritual mentor at the time, but basically I opened up some portals I couldn't close. And this was probably like 8, 9 years ago. Learned a lot since then. But I remember looking up at the sky and going, if this is what it is, God, to be a light worker, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that was literally the moment of, holy shit, this isn't a game. This isn't a joke. Like energy work and spiritual work and playing with crystals and breath work and womb healing and all these incredible things we were doing. You're going to basically go to the highway of every entity on the planet, from angels to dragons and beyond, from galactic beings, and all of them are kicking it in Mount Shasta. And you think it's a good idea to just go in there and not properly grid your space and just basically just be like, come in and get me. So that was the day I got my angel wings and I made it through. And that's a whole other podcast of that, which could totally be in itself, of one of my students getting taken over by an entity, but we'll just leave that there. But I remember having that moment of going, if this is what this is supposed to be, like, I don't want, I didn't sign up for this. This is way too hard. And of course you get through those moments. And I think that's the moment of surrender. And I think that was the moment that I literally got my angel wings. It was like, spirit was like, she passed her test. Like, she is willing to go in like to the depths of hell, essentially, like the phoenix rising to come out of the ashes. And I think I use the word light workers, people who are here on the planet to shine light into the darkest parts of the world. And I think in order to be someone like that, you have to really be a shadow worker. You really have to. It's not all cupcakes and rainbows as it appears on TikTok. It's not just about burning your sage and pulling your angel cards. It's like, if you're signing up for this walk, this medicine person walk, which I think is anybody in leadership who is helping people navigate these really turbulent waves of the human experience, you're going to have to be qualified. And there's a bit of hazing that's going to happen. And I often compare it to like fitness. So I'm 45 years old. I don't want some 21-year-old girl, bless your heart, trying to give me fitness advice. I'm like, honey, like, I didn't have any cellulite at 20 either. And I could eat whatever as well. And like, you know what I'm saying? There's a bit of initiation. Talk to me when you're in your 40s. Talk to me when you're 50s. And please talk to me when you're in your 60s and tell me how you stay in shape. But I don't want to hear it from someone who's 20. And I'm not saying, like, not judging anyone that's 20, because I was 20 as well. But I'm saying there's a little bit of experience that gets to happen, right? Like, I don't want a teenager telling me how to raise children. Like, I want to listen to a mom tell me it's hard and or that it's easier, whatever.
I literally woke up this morning and maybe I got my angel wings when I woke up, because this feels very fucking relevant. So I've known this year is my year of, there's an area of devotion that I have to to me sorting through my relationship shit. And we talked about that a little bit when we first jumped on and we were just connecting. But I know that my next level of service is going to come through me healing through this. And you mentioned like entities and stuff, which like you guys take this with a grain of salt and just enjoy a good story. If you're like, I don't resonate with any of this stuff, I truly believe it's no one knows shit on this planet. We
We know
can
nothing.
only say what feels true and what resonates within our soul. And that does resonate within my soul because I have seen, especially in my marriage with like addiction and stuff, and I'm like, that was not him.
Happened to me. I literally called it out. Black eyes, literally almost like reptilian looking. And I literally said, "Where is?" And I said my ex's name. And all of a sudden he came back. I'm like, "Who are you?" You are not so and so. I was like, where are you? And then he like came back and I was like, oh, it was literally the scariest thing I've ever seen. And I do believe that people who are have a really close girlfriend right now who's going through a divorce and her husband is full addict, full on. No one knows it. He's a public figure in this space. And she has seen that too. And so I do truly believe that addicts are actually taken over by these darker forces. That's why addiction is so hard to break. It's like there's really strong forces that are
They're
taking
fighting a lot.
holes. I'm really sorry you're going through that, had to go through that.
So what I experienced also is like a more recent relationship completing and very much like a hazing of sorts in January was like, I can't even lie. I was on my fucking knees. Like there was definitely moments of begging for mercy of the shit that I had to heal within myself in order to get to the point which I knew was my next level of liberation, where I could be so surrendered to someone else's human experience, whether they were embodied in their body or whether something else was, and for me to be able to look at them and to stand unafraid. And something popped up in my world last night that took me down 2 months ago, that took me down 1 month ago. And this morning I woke up and I was just like, I'm fucking unafraid. And I
Amen.
literally was like, fuck, I did it.
See, it's like, oh, it's, and I feel like so many people are going through deep initiation right now. Like,
I
I
agree.
had fetal positions over the last 2 years. Girl, we could have a whole episode. I was robbed by my coach's boyfriend, who ended up being his husband, who turns into be a sociopath, like movie style con artist, who is now in prison. Like robbed $70,000 and like having all this stuff go down with my team and my ex and fetal position in the backyard, pouring down rain, 4 hours. I could not get up. I was like, I'm either dying, I'm already dead, or like my identity is literally dying. And I remember speaking to my coach at the time and I was like, I am so sick of, I have a good life. I have good friends. I have a house. I have a great dog at the time. What is my deal? I have beautiful clients. Why am I feeling so sad? And I remember, I was like, it's not even about my ex anymore. This is like deep grief. And she said something so powerful to me. She said, what do you think is the appropriate amount of time to grieve your former identity? And I was like, wow. Because we want to get on with it, especially those of us in like coaches and leaders. We're like, okay, let's go. Check the box, t-shirt, let's go. And it's no, what is the appropriate amount of time to grieve your old identity? And I was like, I think so many of us are going through these massive identity deaths and we're just not right for a little while. Like, we don't know who we are. Like, I remember being like, I remember asking some friends maybe 10 years ago or something, am I fun to be around? And they were like, what are you talking about? I was like, I feel like I'm not the same person I was. And I was like, I remember looking at myself in the mirror and like seeing my soul for the first time and being like, whoa. Like I was like soul recognized I was in this meat suit. And I remember looking in my eyes and I like asked my ex who I saw the demon in. And I remember asking him, do I look different? He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I feel like I look different. And I feel like we go through those phases of shedding these old masks and these old identities to like cut, shed the layers down to come to who we truly are. And the only time that can happen is times of deep grief and deep death. And it's the leaves die every year. The seasons change, they die all the time. But we have this thing where it's, and sometimes it hit us harder than it needs to. But I do feel like that is the initiation to show A, what you're made of, and B, if you're qualified to serve the people that you're actually called to serve. Who wants to listen to someone who has not walked the path that they are walking or desire to go? It has to be an integrity. It has to be embodied. It has to be like with your battle scars. And that's what we came on this planet to do. We came on here to learn to grow. And man, it's hard sometimes. Being human is really tough and tricky, especially when you have a high level of excellence that you're an earth angel. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably an earth angel. You are here to create heaven on earth in your own unique way with your own unique gifts. So I see you, girl, like you're doing it. Like it's a battlefield out here, man, of light versus dark. And the darkness is hitting us in the places like relationships and love and family. We are not immune. Like light workers are not immune to any pain and suffering. Like it's just, it's, we have to be in partnership with that experience. And I want to share this with you. I remember being like, why does it feel like everything in my life is falling apart? It was just like, boom. And I felt, if any of you guys have surfed before, it just feels like a set of waves that just kept coming and coming. And I was like, I don't think I can actually paddle anymore to withstand this next wave. And that's usually when the waves stop. And it's usually when you ring the bell or wave the flag, like I did the spirit that day when I was like, God, if this is what it is, check me out. Like, I want to take the red pill again or the blue pill. Like I want back. And I think when you get to that level of on your knees surrender, that's when the waves stop. That's when the sun comes out. And that's what spirit goes, okay, you're ready. And I remember feeling like, I feel like I have to go through this because I feel like the people who I'm going to serve are going to be going through a lot of death. And my 2022 was gnarly. I don't know. I almost didn't survive that year. Like really, truly. And with all the tools and all the training and all the coach, like you still have these human as fuck moments of being like, I want to tap out.
Yeah.
And that's normal. And I remember going, I think that I'm going to have to go through this first, because I remember everyone around me was like, wow. Like I remember this one girl, bless her heart. She was so judgmental. She's, gosh, this is so negative. It's, you always have just like these like things going on. And she was in such judgment of me. And I remember, and she was a lot younger, but I was just like thinking in my head, oh, she has no idea like what's about to come down the pipe for her, because we're all going to have those seasons.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're being negative. And I'm like, I'm out here dying. Yeah. Really? Life is not awesome right now and I'm going to get through it, but don't hang out with me then. I don't know what to tell you. I can't pretend, because this is just my reality and it's not going to last forever, but it sure feels like it. And people won't understand a lot of the time.
Completely. And then you also know there's this point that I believe that people like us will go through, and anybody listening to this podcast, where you really start to reevaluate the people that can hang in your life and your level of devotion to how many people. I mentioned to someone the other day and I'm like, your devotion is too split. I don't believe like this was someone who was like wanting to be in my life romantically. And I was just like, your devotion is so split. I don't believe that you can hold me in the way that I desire to be held. And he actually said, you're right, which was like brave of him. And also I believe that's true in a lot of people's lives, like romantically or not, like we say that we want this thing, like this North Star calls to us. It like almost nags. I don't want to say nag. Maybe it's like a siren. Like it sings so sweetly to us that we're just like, yes, please, yes, please, yes, please. And yet our devotion is so fucking split. And I love what you said about grief. And I look at that a little bit differently, but I think it's ultimately in the same energy, which is, I look at that as like periods of reclamation versus death, where I'm going back for facets of myself. Like I left 4-year-old Andrea here. I left 7-year-old Andrea here. I left 19-year-old Andrea here. And I'm just going back to pull her into the present. And every single time I do, I reclaim more power. I reclaim more energy. I reclaim more light and strength in ways that don't feel like I have to be strong. Like, I don't feel like I have to effort as much. That doesn't mean that I don't have periods of pain, but like my periods of alchemy come at a different level than they used to. But that's what happened. I know we were talked about moving to Spain was like, it felt fucked on your nervous system for a little bit. My daughter messaged me this morning. She's leaving for Paris at 7 p.m. today. And she's, I think this is the wrong decision. And I was like, I've been anxious since 1 a.m. And I said, close your eyes, get present with the anxiety. And how old is it? And she goes, 4. And I was like, go back for her. She knows what that means. She knows what to do from there. But
Yeah.
it's not the Paris isn't the thing, right? It's like
No.
Paris was just like the sweet lights of Paris were just shining an opportunity on her to like reclaim 4-year-old self and like to go back for her and to bring her into the present and to bring more potency and power and strength into the present. But it does
Yes,
sometimes
go
feel
back
like,
to the
fuck.
decision that you chose when your nervous system was regulated. This is something I say a lot to the students when they start to panic. I'm in 100%. And then all of a sudden, oh shit, I have to pay. Oh, and then all their trauma and their money stuff comes up and it just happens. But I'm like, let's go back to how you felt when you were a full body fuck yes, because you were choosing from your highest timeline. You were choosing from your
Exactly.
higher self. You weren't choosing from fear.
That's
And if fear
exactly what
isn't
I
the
told her.
room, it's not the light, it's the darkness trying to be like, don't do it. So I love that. And how brave she's got you as her mom. She's good, but like, what a gift. By the way, let me just acknowledge you as a parent.
Thank you.
I feel like so many parents be like, Linda, don't go. Just chicken out because that's what they would do. Like, you know how many times my mom, you're crazy. I can't believe you're going to Africa. It's so dangerous there. I go, in the entire continent that is Africa, it is all so dangerous. I'm just like, oh Lord. It's just like all this choosing from fear instead of no, I'm feeling called and Paris is calling her and nervous is normal and like all those things. But yeah, I really love that thing you said about devotion. That was so beautifully said. And I want to just touch base before we jump into like the Spain topic, if that's okay, is if you're out there right now and you're going through some stuff, going through it, or you're going through this alchemy and you're going through this like Phoenix rising, you're going through this reclamation period, whatever aligns with you, you're in the suck, as my friend Nita would say. There are going to be people who don't have what it takes to witness you in that. And I think for me, the friends I remember that I moved from LA with, I thought we were going to be together forever. And like life started a life. Timeline started to shift. They got babies. They got multiple. They had marriages. They have stuff. And I'm over here, the older single one that's like still wanting me on that timeline. Not so there's all those things you can cook up into the shadow of 2020 that really had everybody go through a lot of death rebirth portal. I started to realize that I was in a space in my life where I was the overgiver in my relationships and there wasn't reciprocity. And I started to see that, like, the one way I had delusion in partnership and being like, let's just spray some sprinkles on some shit and call it good in the Disney vision is that the delusion is what helped me survive my childhood. And I'm so grateful for it. But the
Same.
delusion of relationship created massive pain and suffering and really took me down when I was getting lots of momentum in my life and my business and all things. But it's so sneaky and it literally has the way you do one thing is the way you do everything and start to notice like, wow, I've also been delusional in what I've accepted in relationship. And there's been no reciprocity in my field. And I came to a place of being like, I'm so complete. I love you. Some people are friends for a reason or a season, but like 10 years, we had a good run, but I no longer have the space to show up for people who don't show up for me. And I had to let some of those people go and had a beautiful conversation with a sister in Austin, hadn't spoken for over a year. And I got to hear her side, which was she was going through a massive death portal, severe sickness, complete frozen with paranoia. Her postpartum was super insane, intense. I hadn't even had that awareness because I was going through my own death rebirth portal. She was also going through hers. So it's going to be sometimes in our life where people come in and out. And you can only show up for people is the capacity you have. And it's not personal and no one's bad and no one's wrong. And it's okay to pull back and it's okay to say, yeah, I need more, whether it be love or friendship or relationship or team or whatever. And it's just all this beautiful part of the weaving and the growth. And so doing my best not to villainize that person and victim to that. And there's medicine there for me as well. So much learning, but it's interesting that a lot of people are going through what we're going through. People just won't be honest about it. So you can feel really alone in that. But 99.9% of the time, we never know really what anyone else is really truly going through. And some of us have bigger pain bodies than others. We can put on a greater smile and just power through.
Sometimes we
So.
don't even realize we're powering through because we're just used to it. It's just, this is how relationships should be, whether it's platonic or romantic, because that's all we've ever known until all of a sudden it starts to actually take a toll on us. And then we're like, oh, I can't actually do this anymore. Yeah, yesterday was a day where I had trained, I'm such an easygoing person that I often trained people to not take commitments to me seriously. And look, I am the queen of saying I reserve the right to change my mind about anything, anyone, anytime, but I do it with intention. And what I noticed was, is that because I embodied that, I gave people permission to do it, but without intention. It was people would be like, yeah, I can do that for you. Yeah, I'll show up. And then I would let them change their mind. And yesterday I put my foot down and I said, somebody said, hey, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. And all good, like whatever, except for this was a pattern. And I was like, I'm going to show up 15 minutes late, but you were also late yesterday. And if you want to be in my life, don't ever do this to me again. And
Wow.
they replied, dramatic. And I was like, yep.
Boundaries.
Period.
Yeah.
They're not in my life anymore. As of
And that's
today.
the new level. Like you want to be able to count on people in your life. And
Exactly.
if you can't stand up to that level of commitment, that's okay. I love you, but where you're at is what you need is to feel safe. And feel respected and to feel held around the people that are currently in your sphere. And that's going to change throughout your life. And maybe down the road, you'll be like, whatevs, but you're at a point in your life where you know what you need.
Yeah,
And
my devotion to my vision is too important to me to have my energy be fragmented in little ways like that. So
yes.
you're either going to choose to show up all the way or don't. The Virgo in me is, it's not okay to hold the standard. And I'm 41 years old when I'm like, no, yes, the fuck it is. You want to be in my life? You want to get the gold and the gifts that come from being in relationship with me? You better give it. Period.
Yeah, show up.
Reciprocation. I love the use of that.
Yes, reciprocity, please. And it's a good,
Reciprocity, no matter what. Fuck
yeah, no
the
matter what, like baseline,
please. Period.
don't take your energy, right? My dad used to say when he was alive, givers must draw boundaries because takers rarely do. And I often say that. Like people will, my dad say, people will take from you as long as you will let them. And the easygoing and the people pleasing and the not wanting to rock the boat, it just creates inner resentment. And then we teach people how to treat. It's like, why is she tripping? It's just okay. So how can we start from the beginning? Hey, it doesn't feel good when the first time. Hey, babe, this is like a non-negotiable for me. I get life, shit's gonna happen, literally. I've literally been like running out the house and my dog's been like diarrhea everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna be late. Like, this is happening right
Right,
now.
for sure.
You know, like it happens, shit happens, but communicate and just don't make it a pattern. If this is somebody's like really something really important to them, I love
Exactly.
that.
And yeah, I'm looking for congruency and intention, words and actions. And of course, with the expectation that life is going to life, the dog's going to shit on the floor, like work's going to go long, stuff like that, whatever. Yeah, of course. And also, that's not the reality of what was actually preventing timeliness. So, and I don't even look at it as timeliness because I don't even care. Like, time isn't really that important to me. It's the congruency and my devotion to my relationship with you is this, and the actions were a mismatch. And so I was just like, okay.
It was just manifesting in this physical matter that was very easy for you to pinpoint.
Correct. Yes. I've been
Like, don't
reading the
get me.
book. Have you heard of the book Inspire His Devotion?
No.
Okay, it's a good book in like masculine and feminine energy so far. I'm like in chapter 4 or 5. So I can't say the whole book is amazing, but I've enjoyed the first part of it. And I'm just enjoying like the idea of like staying in my feminine energy with knowing my worth and knowing the value. I hate the word worth if I'm being completely honest, but knowing the value that I bring to the table and anticipating polarity and match. Not anticipating, holding the standard for it, holding the fucking standard for it. This Virgo is owning the words.
It's called what? Activating the devotion. What's it called?
Inspiring his devotion.
Love that.
But I'm using it more as looking at the universe, source, God, whatever, as his, and practicing femininity and letting the universe give the provisions. This is, you'll like this. So yesterday I was like swiping my card and I was like, thanks, boo, as if God preloaded a credit card for me. It's just like,
So cute. I love that. Thanks, Sugar Daddy.
God,
I
yeah, God is my sugar daddy. So he gives the
love that.
protection and the provisions, and I can be in like depth and trust and work on trust in the masculine with God, like the ultimate, like God, of course, can like, or whatever, like source creator God can obviously can hold both. And so a man could practice this too, and being in his masculine and letting the universe provide the feminine energy back. But it's been fun to just be like, thanks, poo. Can I have more on that card now?
Love that. That's so good. I've never heard that before. That is juicy.
Release
That's
the
juicy.
provisions.
Oh, yes, please. More of that. And thank you. Yes, and thank you. Yes.
So go
Yeah.
back to your Spain story, because I feel like this is so real for so many people. We're getting ready, like big changes are happening for so many people in my life, myself included, with my kids moving out. I'm in a new home. I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling. Relationship status has changed a lot lately. So much change for me. So the feelings that can arise during those periods can make people want to like pull back and change their mind, like my daughter was saying. So tell me about the Spain story.
Yeah, totally. Thank you for that. And I'm excited for this new chapter for you. It's scary and exciting, but same energies, right? Just perception. And that's the test. That's the new timelines that we're like, oh, the foot in the toe in the pool. Oh, do I? So for the longest time, I've been calling on my beloved for as many rituals as I can remember. It's been like calling him in. And my 44th birthday, we did a ceremony at my house with probably many of the girls that you know are at my friend's house. And the girls prayed on me and called in this person. And it was like, all right, what is this new level that you're stepping into? And it's just, okay, exalt. Like, I'm going to be exalted into this next thing. So that was my birthday was December, January, my Capricorn. So around March, I'm in the middle of a launch. Long story longer, my dog, my furry Romeo of 10 years, dies in my arms suddenly in an extremely traumatic way. Actually, Mel and Sean were driving me to the hospital. It was so gnarly. But basically, around that time, I found out that my assistant was rushed to the emergency room to get an emergency blood transfusion, which she ended up being allergic to and slipped into a coma. So, like, all of this is going on in the middle of the launch. I'm in like 3 day of a 5 day challenge. So, I basically have no team. My heart is completely broken. I am single and I literally had these moments of what God, what the fuck else could possibly happen? It was around the same sort of timing of just found out that my ex-coach's boyfriend slash husband was a con artist, robbed me of $70,000. So I'm like dealing with that. Had to fire a team earlier this year, feeling all of this complete betrayal from the masculine, if I'm 100% honest. And it's bringing me to my knees moment. So it was like friendships didn't have my back, that whole thing. Then it was the narcissist boyfriend. Then it was like who I thought my real estate mentor robbing me. It was like all of this stuff going on. And I literally just hit the wall of just, I'm at my lowest of low. I won a trip to Morocco about a week or two before because I facilitated a blessing way for an African sister in the community. And I called in the African Orishas, Yemanja, the goddess of African goddess of the ocean. Oya, the goddess of kind of like Kalima, like destruction and thunder and storm, and Oshun, the river, African river goddess. So I did this whole beautiful ritual and ceremony. A blessing way is helping women come from maiden to mother and celebrate them as they go on to this next journey as being a mom. What I've heard, you become a new person every time you birth a child. So I win this trip to Morocco the very next day. It was almost like the African Orishas just like blessed me up. And the amount of this retreat in Morocco was the same amount of the money I invested in this woman's beautiful African ceremony blessing way. And so there was talks around the group of, you should extend to Spain. You should extend to Spain. So I thought, okay, yeah, I will. But I was only going to go for a week because I had my dog. The morning that Romeo died, he literally looked at me and I looked at him and I was like, I think I'm going to meet someone in Spain. Like, I felt it in my body. And I was like, looked at him in the eyes. He died 2 hours later. So now there's no reason for me to rush back to Spain. So in the hospital at 11, he's buried in my backyard with Mel and Sean and my friend Alexia at 3. Like it was, and then I had to go live to 400 people on day 3 of my 5 day challenge 2 hours later. So it was an initiation upon initiation. So I ended up extending to Spain with no return. I was like, why am I rushing back to Austin? Don't have a boyfriend, don't have a dog, don't need to be here. Yes, I'm in the middle of a launch, but what, who knows how that's going to go? Because I have no assistant and I have nobody on my team, right? So my niece comes into town and I basically say, why don't you just meet me in Spain, pack up all my stuff. I had this intuitive hit that I wasn't coming back. I had her pack up all my personal belongings, had my handyman build a wall in the garage, store all my stuff. And basically, I had this feeling that I wasn't coming back to Austin, right? It was weird, but I just trusted it. I know now that when I get these hits, just go with them, right? I don't know what it's going to look like. So I'm barely get on this airplane with no sleep, completely heartbroken, obviously, like throwing things in a bag. I'm like, I think I'm going to be gone for a while. What do I pack? I'm going to Morocco and then Spain. Who knows? So I basically land, go to Morocco, do deep healing, praying the whole way, calling in my person. I had this moment and I feel it's important to share. It was pouring down rain in Casablanca, which is the beach town outside of Marrakesh. I'm literally on my knees writing my dog's name in the sand. I'm like, God, where is my, why did you take my dog, my baby? Where is my human baby? Where is my husband? What the hell is going on with my business? What do you want from me? Do you not want me to do this anymore? Are you, it felt like God was like, no dog, no Austin, no business, no nothing. And I was like, this is not, I can feel it deep in my heart. It hurts. And I remember just like screaming up at the sky. It's like pouring down rain at a beach. There's not a soul in sight.
Wow.
And I looked down, and while my dog was dying, I asked him to come back as butterflies. And I looked down, and there had been this yellow butterfly dancing around my garden that day, and it sat with me for 15 minutes as I just cried the day after he died. Like it was like so kismet. And I looked down, and there's a yellow shell at my feet that literally is in the shape of a butterfly. And
Wow.
a yellow Lego washes up on the shore to my feet. And the little boy who my assistant, my personal assistant's little boy had given me a Lego the day after my dog died and said, doggy. And I held this Lego. I'm like, why do I have this Lego? And then I saw the Lego in Morocco wash up on the beach. And I felt like it was my dog telling me everything's going to be okay. So I'm like basically barely holding on. I extend to Spain, long story long. Within 3 hours of landing in Mallorca, I meet my now husband. And there was multiple signs that day
What?
to go to this place called Bar Cuba. I was in the middle of a sales call to rush back to my house, take the call. It was divinely intervention. He was on his way out. I was on my way in. He doesn't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. He got my phone number, and literally he swept me off my feet. I was like, is he a narcissist? Is he gaslighting me? My niece was like, this is your husband. My best friend flew in from the UK, my marketing girl. And she was like, this is your husband. And I was like, can everybody just slow the fuck down? We'll see. And I literally just had this energy of like, we'll see. But I
Yeah.
liked what I felt in his presence. I was curly. I was cracking jokes. I was myself. I'm singing happy birthday to him at the restaurant. Like I was just in this fullest expression of this amber. And I lost that amber for a while. So he activated in something in me where I felt beautiful again. I felt I hadn't been called beautiful by my exes. Like I was in horrible narcissistic demon relationships for as long as I can remember. So my self-esteem was like, I didn't know what it felt like to be in the presence of a man. I was the one taking care of these guys. I was the one proving, begging, marry me, have my babies up. And they were all, first of all, not qualified for any of that, but I was trying to turn a frog into a prince. And with Gustavo, it was like an energy and it felt like home or slow dancing with no music. And the rest is history. He just kept showing up. He kept giving. I used to cook, clean everything from exes. I do none of that. Gustavo does it all for me. I used to leave love notes and bring flowers and all this stuff. Gustavo does all that for me. I don't do any of that. The person I am in this relationship is not the Amber that was in any other relationship of proving. It's what, like, I have no desire to do any of that for him. I don't know why. I feel bad sometimes. I'm like, you
Don't feel
should.
bad. I'm going to explain this to you. This is so good. That book that I'm reading that's like breaking my brain and blowing my mind, it literally says women are not designed to be givers. We're designed to be receivers. So when the
Yes.
man is in his pure masculine, his devotion deeply desires to do all of these things for her, and her gift back to him is simply to be in grateful receptivity of it. You're doing great. Keep doing
Girl,
that.
But it's so hard for
you're
like
doing the Lord's work.
Those petals on the bed for my boyfriends, you guys. Like, yes. I would get them cards and presents and shower them with love and adoration, admiration, whatever. And basically, like,
you were in your masculine. That was still masculine.
I was doing it all. And
you
now
were doing.
Gustavo does everything. But that, again, back to you heard about my childhood. So
yeah,
I share this with you. I basically was here every day, whining, dining, me and my niece taking care. I left, I came back. And then after I came back, oh, by the way, I did not sleep with him. So I basically was like, I'm not going to sleep with this man because I know I made a vow to myself. The next man I sleep with, I'm only going to sleep with him because I know that he is someone who is worthy suitor and worthy my partner and a potential of being the father of my children or my husband. And the guy, I feel like this is important to share. The guy I dated before him, I had an intuitive tell me that my husband wasn't from America. I didn't actually think he wasn't going to live in America. I actually thought he was going to live in America, but not be from America. Anyway, I digress. So I met this guy and he was like a Bangladesh guy. Ticked all the boxes, real estate, cute, wealthy, blah, blah, blah. But he was getting so triggered because I wouldn't sleep with him. And he was like saying things like, I need to know if this is just platonic or not. Like, I need to know if there's sexual chemistry here. And I was like, hey, I'm down
if
to
you
take this.
Want to sleep with me, there's sexual chemistry.
Hello. I was like, well, who do you think I am? Like, I'm not born yesterday. I said, I am okay with this 1950s pace. Mm-hmm. And I said, I need to feel like I can trust you. It hasn't worked for me the other way.
Yeah,
I've slept with people. My rational reason goes out the door. And I don't know which emotions I need to know I like you. I want to find a friend, a best friend that I like to have sex with. Not someone I have sex with that I'm trying to make my best friend. I need to know that we have things in common, that we're aligned before I even think about opening up my sacred space to this guy. So case in point, I didn't sleep with this guy. I was like, I don't like having to prove.
No,
if you want to call me, bye. Like, this is weird. But it was manipulative, but I could spot it because I finally was doing enough work that I could actually say, this guy is a narcissist and I'm not into it. So I passed that test. And I feel like that's why Gustavo came in, but he was so devoted that it could classify as gaslighting, which a lot of my friends from Austin were like, in LA were like, Amber, are you sure this guy sounds like he's gaslighting you? I was like, you guys.
Or love, do you mean love bombing?
Sorry, love bombing.
Yeah.
Yes. Love bombing. Right, my bad.
As a distinction for the audience, because those two, all of those get thrown around a lot, but yeah. Carry
yes.
On.
Yeah. I was scared. He was love bombing. I was cautious and I was just back and we'll see, we'll see, we'll see.
Yeah.
And so he was, does she like me? This is very different from Spain culture, like not sleeping together and all the things, but I was holding true to wanting to fully trust myself and my heart. And it wasn't until he was, I love you. I want to have your babies. I want to build a life with you. You're my dream woman. And I was like, holy smokes.
Wait, I have a very important question.
Huh?
How did you guys talk to each other when neither of you spoke each other's language?
Translator app.
Okay, thank you. I needed to be able to visualize how this happened.
Translator app. At first, his best friend came with us on our first date and my niece, and he translated, but not very well. But Gustavo now is like 85% fluent in English. He speaks German, French, and Spanish, and now English. But I don't speak Spanish, guys. Like, I'm working on it. But what I'm here to tell you is that the energy was there. And basically, long story longer, I went back to Austin. I packed up my life in 45 days. I found someone to rent my house. I found tenants. I went to Mel's Bachelor at Miami. And then I came with six suitcases to Mallorca. June of this last year, we were engaged the last week in July and we were married August 3rd. And we are not even together a year. We met on April 15th. And so we haven't been together a year and my whole life has changed. Now we're working on babies. We're going to step into the IVF journey. I'm living in my work. I am 100%. So to your original question of the nervous system, there was nothing about this that felt rational to anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, wasn't stressful, because I'm going to be fully honest with you. Like, I know stress is a choice, but it was extremely stressful trying to find tenants for my house.
Mm-hmm.
Buck up, packs, purge my life, spoke on three stages, did three garage sales, Facebook marketplace, interviewing tenants. Like, it was a full on amazing race marathon. But A, I did not want to spend another summer in Austin. Two, because it's brutally hot. Two, I want to just get my life going with this man. And it felt so right. So there was this, amongst the chaos, there was this deep, calm knowing that I was doing the right thing. And I had to, again, go through this initiation, being up until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, purging my life so that I could make the space so that this transition could be easier. And so sometimes it's not going to be easy, but I felt this little thread pulling me to Spain. I kept telling everybody, I feel like there's a string at my heart pulling me to Spain. It's so weird. And when I landed in Barcelona the first time, I was like, uh-oh. And then I got on the dating apps and I was like, oh, mama is got goods are. What I call my friends, I was like, this 44-year-old, odds are good. And I was like, I got 50 guys in my DMs right now who look like supermodels. And I was like, I don't know what is happening, but I never got that much action in America. I don't know if it's I'm American. I don't know what it is, but I will
Southern
take
Florida is where it's at.
I am
Men are
freaking
fine.
in for it. And so like I was like, I'm gonna find my husband out here. Like, and I did, of course. He found me rather, but I didn't end up on any dates with any of those guys on the dating apps. But I did end up with a man who was just like, you're my person and I want to marry you and you're my dream woman, and that's it. From the very start, he knew. And I had never ever experienced a nurturing, calm, grounded love like that with somebody who is so sure.
Just putting my hands up to the screen, you guys, you can't see it, but I'm just like, I receive. You want to know what a psychic told me a few weeks ago?
What?
I just got back on the dating apps like a week ago. I swear to you, the dating apps are the best. Hinge is the best way to find out if you're in your feminine energy or not, by the way. Because
Yes.
if they are not planning a date with you, you're like, okay, I'm in my masculine. Let me go
Yes.
switch. So I have this like list of fine men queued up, just like you were. But my psychic goes, I see you on like the streets of Paris, or you're in Europe, and he just finds you. And I'm like, I'm literally like, you're showing up for me today, the day I got my angel wings this morning from the test that I passed. Like,
I'm getting the chills.
I need to
I'm
book
getting the
my
chills.
trip to Europe today.
Hey, you're coming to Europe. Like, you come to Spain, first of all.
Plus, my house, like, I'm going through similar stuff. Like, I'm selling my old house. We had a house fire. It's been shit. It's been hell. I woke up
Oh.
to an offer, and the offer was 1.23 million. 1, 2, 3. And I woke up this morning and I was like, God, do I take this offer? And
Yes.
literally, I heard God say, I gave you the sign, 1, 2, 3, new beginnings, first steps, go. And I texted my agent and I'm like, take the offer.
Oh
I gotta go to Europe
my
and find
God, you're gonna find your person in Europe. Like, I literally did you see that reel that was going around not too long ago? Like maybe 3 or 4 months ago, said if your man ain't treating you right, if your man ain't treating you right in America, there's a long line of men in Europe that will. And literally, I'm like, it is so true. I am all my single friends in America. I'm like, get your ass to Spain. Get over here. They know how to treat their woman. They literally take care of you. Like in America, the guys don't take care of you. The European men take care of their women. I don't know what happened. I have a theory, and I blame Vietnam for this
Yes,
theory.
correct.
Because we lost so many men. The kids had to raise themselves. They lost the whole seeing the dad taking care of the mom thing. And then we had a bunch of single moms raising all these boys. They overgave. So then these boys, like my exes, are
And
like,
their mom
my.
was in their masculine nervous system fried, having to be the provider and the nurturer. Yep.
Yes. And
I
so then,
agree.
like, that's what I need. And so they are expecting all these women to work 40 hours a week plus and take care of the family and take care of them and do everything. And they just want to sit on their ass. And in America, here in Spain, the men do everything. Like, you guys, if my husband was here right now, he's literally walking the dog. He brought me up baby tea, brought me up and made me soup. He cooks me every meal. He literally brings me tea all day long. He rubs my feet. He cleans the house. He does
Look, I'm on the way.
everything.
Say less.
Takes everything. So it's possible. Women are supposed to take care of the children, and the men are supposed to take care of the women. And that's just how it is in other countries. But in America, it's bass ass backwards. So.
Instinctual, when you look at like caveman like instincts before there was even language, that would be exactly how it went down. Yep.
Handle it,
That's when
guys.
we're most alive, actually. Men are most alive, and when women are most alive. And the reason that we have these fucked nervous systems is because we have been protectors and providers for ourselves. And that's why so many women are struggling bearing children. Our nervous systems are shattered.
Which is what I get to work on. And to your point, I think this just dropped in, which I think is really important. The first few weeks of dating Gustavo, I cried like every single day.
Wow.
Because I had never been treated that way. I had never seen someone look at me that way. He would literally see my dress and go, "Oh, mi amor," see my dress getting caught. Like, he was so attentive to my glass would be empty and he would already have it filled up. I was like, how do I deserve love like this? Like, how does he love me so much? It was so hard for me to accept. I didn't have to do anything to prove my worthiness to Gustavo. I know I hate that word. My value to Gustavo, he just saw it. And it was the first man. Really, I cannot tell you how hard it was to receive. Like, I literally had my friend saying, "Don't fuck this up." And I'm like, I don't know how to take this much love. I don't know what it feels like to not have to work for someone to tell me how beautiful I am and then I don't want to take that for granted. But I would cry because my exes would never tell me I looked pretty. They would always tell me I need to lose weight or I was fat, or they would grab my stomach fat. And this man's, "Oh, your body is amazing." And guys, I've gotten a little thick and I don't care because I eat what I want and I'm happy. But he was like, "Oh, I love your body." I've never had a man like love the curves of my body. And it loves all the things about me that I was made wrong for and that men didn't like. He'll hear me on the phone. My wife is such a boss. Or he'll say, "My wife is, wow, you are such a boss. You're amazing." He loves me in my power and loves me in my masculine or in my leadership. Like, he loves that side of me.
Yeah.
And it's in America, the men that I dated resented that side of me. And they were intimidated by that. He wants to be a stay-at-home dad. And I'm like, "Yes, I'm a Capricorn. I get to work. Yes, please." So it works for us. And I'm not saying all the men want to stay at home and be stay-at-home dads in Spain. I'm just saying I have found somebody who wants to take that role. And I get to surrender and soften and trust and allow. And I've never, because at first he's like, "Why don't you let," he would get frustrated. "Because I don't understand why you don't just let me do this." And I would try to carry my bag and he would just be like, "Why are you doing that?" He didn't understand. "Babe, I was raised by a single mom. Like, I've only dated loser guys who didn't know how to take care of a woman. This is all I know." So I'm like unlearning.
Yeah.
Not having to do everything on my own. And he's like, "You have a husband one day." He's like, "You have a husband." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "I am here. I'm with you." And I was just
"I'm here now. Oh,
what? God take care of you, mi amor." And I'm like, "Thank you." He was like, "Stop saying that. I am your husband. It is normal." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I don't want to ever take advantage or not appreciate." But it's really been hard, guys. It's been a really hard switch to be like, let him.
Yeah.
"You're not." I had literally an ex-boyfriend say to me when I asked him to help me hang a painting, he said, "What are your hands broken?" Like, literally wouldn't hold the fucking ladder for me because I was scared I was gonna fall. I was like, "You can do it. You were truly, you have balance. What are you gonna do when I'm not around? Can you help me carry the suitcase down the stairs? What are you gonna do when I'm not around? What are you gonna do when you have a kid on your head?"
I'm like,
totally. But this was like the imprinting I had.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's really challenging for us women to unlearn and to like soften. I'm like, what does that mean?
I would read this book.
I haven't felt safe.
Yes.
Because there's never been a man that's been capable and qualified to take care of me, including my own dad, rest his soul. But like, it's foreign. Like, he looks like I have seven eyes, but I'm like, you don't understand the environment, and my nervous system has not been conducive to relaxing and being safe and being taken care of, because I don't have physical evidence of that up until now.
Read this book, because I think you'll find so much value in it. And what I'll say about that is, if he's gonna be like, "I'm gonna be a stay-at-home dad," then have him on payroll or something like that as like a paid job, so that he can still show up and pay for the dinners and be a provision provider, because his instincts will still need that to be able to to feel like he's doing his job as the man. So I think we can make a lot of different things work when we take our instinctual nature into account and making sure that he's still like that thing that makes you feel so alive and that softens you and gives you the ability to even surrender the tears and all of that stuff to be able to keep that polarity will be really helpful. I've been reading a lot of like different ways of live this and that. Cause I'm like, I'm over here. I make great money. Like I don't need a man to pay my bills. And honestly, I'm fine with dating a guy who makes less than me, not too much less, but because I do have a lifestyle that I do care about and I want a man to stay in his masculine around me. So I do have more standards than I was willing to let myself admit at first, but I've been thinking a lot about like, how would I make that work so that I can truly honor his masculine instincts and let him feel like he really, truly is, not let him feel, but so that he is activating his provider energy around me and I'm activating my receptive energy around him and we can hold beautiful polarity. Like I said, I'm doing this with God right now, so I don't really know anything, but this
no,
is what
I
feels
love this
true.
Beautiful medicine that you're sharing with me because I actually did just put him on payroll as of 3 days ago because he's going
it.
through a bit of an identity death in his own experience because he's been the one who's paid the bill. Right. He's always worked. And he's like going through a lot right now. So I feel like he's going through a midlife crisis, but in the most beautiful way that it's like, you taking care of me is literally like $1 million to me. You don't understand. Like having clean clothes and a clean house and being fed as an entrepreneur, like what? Like I don't need anything else. I'm like, I am so
literally,
literally taken care of that. I'm like, you want to buy me sunflowers? Like I bought it with my own money. And I was like, yay, thank you. I don't need all this stuff. I love to travel. I love to eat out. Don't take that away from me. But it changes. Yeah. And I can imagine you coming out of a marriage and having a grown daughter now. It's like, it's going to change a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought that up. And it's that we're working through that dance right now. And I haven't had it mastered. So stay tuned. But thank you for that confirmation and reminder. Yeah, he gets to have this provider because he's starting to feel, because I want to feel in my masculine. And I'm like, you don't understand. Everything you're doing for me is the most masculine thing any man has ever done.
Right.
And it's hard for him to swallow that because it is just normal for him.
Yeah.
It's the money thing is really challenging for him right now.
Mm-hmm.
He feels inadequate. He feels like he's not contributing. So how can we create that he can feel happy and confident in his offerings? Because to me, it's like gold.
Or let him get a job. Whatever, for me, I'm like, whatever it takes for you to be in your masculine and to that feel authentic. Like, I don't want my partner to feel like they have to negotiate. Maybe I could make it feel masculine in this way. Like, whatever, go get a job. Do your thing. Just give me the daddy energy.
Yes. And that's what I said. Maybe you get a part-time job. Maybe you go get a job. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Hire a nanny. It's fine. Like, going to take care of you if I get a job. I'm like, babe, I've been taking care of myself for a long time. We'll figure it out.
You'll still give me foot rubs when we're laying on the couch. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my God. This was so beautiful, Amber. I feel like I'm like, holy fuck, we've been on for almost an hour and a half now.
I love it.
Oh, I could literally talk to you about this topic all day long. And your story is just so alive. I know that you do retreats. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So retreats are my jam. I am, in addition to supporting people, activating their spiritual gifts and stepping out of the closet as spiritual entrepreneurs, I also am a badass of a priestess and a ceremonialist. So I work deep partnership with the land. I don't facilitate medicine ceremonies. I think there's a place and a time for all that. That's not my mission in my dharma this lifetime, but I do utilize the medicine and work in deep partnership with the ancestors, the earth, air, the water, and the fire. So
beautiful.
I do sacred pilgrimages across places like Morocco and Ireland and Spain. And yeah, you go on this really beautiful journey to remember more of who you are, to connect with the deeper levels of remembrance and activate these dormant DNA codes. I believe that traveling is the greatest thing you can do for your soul's remembrance, collecting parts of your soul along the way. And I really truly believe that when your feet actually touch ancient lands, it activates these dormant DNA codes. And so we just got back from an incredible 5-day pilgrimage across the Sahara Desert through Morocco. And oh my God, the girls are on fire in their business, their relationships, all the things. I've got one coming up in Spain at the end of May. And then we're going to do one in Ireland, the Sacred Ireland Pilgrimage, which Ireland completely healed my heart after that one narcissist demon relationship I told you about. And I went and reclaimed all my power back from many lifetimes of the church and being a nun and all the things. And yeah, I love retreats. I love ritual. I love fire. I love doing sacred rage. I love supporting people. We do a lot of water baptisms where people baptize themselves to be who they want to be and who they desire to be now. And so if you're going through a transformation or want to get next level and like your offerings, your business, your calling, your beloved, my retreats are really special. And basically we jump timelines. We're gone for 5 to 8 days, but people feel like they've been gone a year. That's like the level of deep work and transformation that happens at my retreats. And I've had people say, oh my God, I've sat with all the medicines, but like what I've gotten out of your retreats has literally been life-changing. So I love it. I love sitting in circle. I love getting in there. I love lifting up the hood. I love getting witchy. And I love just like the deep remembrance and the coming home to yourself and resetting the nervous system in sacred places and working with the land. It's just, and this, getting the signs from the divine, from the angels, but from those beautiful animals that show up along the way. It's just, you can't make it up. In Morocco, we were leaving rose blessings at all the water sources. Spirit like was very clear with me that I needed to do that. And I believe in reverence and coming in a deep way before you take, and all these really deep practices to come in a good way. And at the last day, we ended up in the Valley of the Roses. And our host was like, you're now getting to be baptized in the water, literally, of all the rose water that you've left the whole way throughout Morocco. And I was like, oh my God. Literally, I was drumming at sunset in the Sahara Desert, and the women are just like laying in the sand. We all heard the ocean. And there's no ocean, but that they say that the Sahara Desert used to be the ocean. It was wild. And then people were just like sobbing and smiling, and we're dancing under the fire, under the stars in the middle of the Sahara Desert with the masculine taking care of us the whole way. We did it. They literally drove for us. They cooked for us. They carried our bags. They did this. It was so healing for so many of the women to just receive masculine, and Gustavo got to be a part of that. And it was big. It was a big healing. So yes, more of that.
I love that. Oh my God. Your energy is like so grounded and yet alive. We'll make sure to link the upcoming retreats in the show notes for everyone. So check below if you guys are like feeling activated in any way, shape or form. Man, like just, I love what you said, because I spent, I don't know, it's 3-4 days just like with my feet, like my bare feet touching earth, because the rain was so bad at this retreat that I went to that it was no point even wearing shoes. So my feet were just like sinking into mud. And I remember thinking like, oh fuck, I forgot this is what it feels like. Cause I grew up like barefoot in the forest and like the Seattle area. And I'm like,
oh my God,
forgot.
I grew up in Seattle.
No way.
Yeah, I went crazy. To Lumber High School.
Okay, so I was in Federal Way for my high school years. Yeah, crazy.
I was an NFL cheerleader for the Seattle Seahawks. And I threw EDM festivals there for 19 years.
No like, way.
Yeah, at the Gorge and everything. Anyway, I digress. Continue.
I love
the
that.
Earth in the
yes,
mud.
I just remember thinking, wow, I don't even think about coffee during the day because the earth just energizes me so much. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how healing this earth truly is. And that we just need to, sometimes all we need to get is our bare feet on it. And I imagine spending a week or 5 days or whatever, like also doing all of these like amazing activations would just be like a total reset for someone. So I like bless and honor the work that you do, because retreats haven't been it for me. Who knows? We don't know what my future will be, but I love the work that you do. Where should people go find you?
Instagram's the place. I am Amber Valdez on Instagram. That's pretty much it. My website is 10 years outdated, but I'm like, well, I don't really need it. So don't need to spend another 20 grand on my website. But yeah, you can send me an email at amber@ambervaldez.com, or you can just shoot me a DM on the gram. I check all my messages and all the things there. Okay. Yeah. I would love to connect with any of you guys. If anything resonated, you need support in any way, I'm here. And thank you for the work you do. And congratulations in advance for the sale of the house.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for your freedom. I'm so excited for what Europe is going to bring you forth. You're going to have the best fucking time in Paris. And please come to Spain. See me. Like,
oh, for sure. I'm going to let you know if I show up in Spain.
At least, yeah, come out here. Come to Mallorca. Such a vibe. Like the food. Do you like seafood?
I love seafood. Yeah.
Okay, me too. I'm such a mermaid. The seafood in Spain is ridiculous. Oh, and I just want to say, I had the most delicious eggs Benedict today. It was $8.90. It was incredible. And the egg yolks look like orange. They're like beautiful. And my matcha was $2.80 with oat milk.
Okay, say less. I'm on my way.
Okay. So like the scallops, the fish, the oh my God, the food is just so good.
Oh my God. Oh my
It's
God.
so good.
I
Yeah.
cannot wait. Yeah, I'll see you soon. You guys, whatever you heard today, whatever just hit your soul, please send Amber a DM and just thank her for her gifts, but be specific and just offer her a moment of reflection of what supported you. Like, truly, your guys's feedback and knowing that the initiations that we go through in order to guide the next person behind us on this path are like so worth it to us. So thank you for popping over to her DMs and sharing with her. And thank you for sharing all of your gifts, Amber. I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. This was so much fun. I'm so glad we got to spend time with the children. Thanks you guys for hanging out with us.
Yes.
Yes, that's my favorite thing, to get those messages and knowing that the work we're doing matters and
Amen.
what will happen. So thank you so much. Keep me posted on all things, please.
I shall.
Hi, this is Lorelai, COO of The Unruly Entrepreneur. If you want a mini taste of rapid resolution therapy, I highly recommend Andrea's top program, Regulate, a course that is swiftly changing lives. Like one listener who said, Regulate is like the best damn anti-anxiety, non-med fix available. Everyone needs to have this. Thank you for creating something so healing. And another who said, I woke up to the biggest weekly paycheck I've seen in over a year, and I was like, wait, that felt easy and seamless. What was different? And immediately I was like, yep, it was Regulate. 100% it was. Head to the show notes to learn more about this life-changing and laid-back program that fills our inbox with stories of relaxed nervous systems. Thanks for listening, friend. We're so glad you're here.